Welcome to Arches of the North. It's been a while. We're still here. This is Josh. I think we should have all four of us on tonight, which is a miracle this happened. I mean, we've been planning this out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, trying to figure out, hey, is there a time where any of us can get together? And now here we are, ready to bring you all our scorching slash mild slash a kind of unknown at sports world takes. This is Josh, and I'm joined by someone whose name says ice, and I'm guessing it is ice.
Yeah, fellas.
Ah,
So
shoot.
I really like I'm playing Hearthstone right now. Got some Madden going too. So I'll be here sporadically throughout the pod to throw in some takes about every 10 minutes. I'll probably say something. So sounds about
boom
right.
Roasted. Got him.
Got him good. Nothing. Maybe this is why it's taking so long to get all four of us in a pod. I'm just
Kai comes
Kai
out
just
and trashes
ostracizing.
Him.
Yeah. The
hey,
key is he trashed him before
person,
he realizes it. Yeah.
This person right? sucks. And then they don't want a pod anymore. I don't understand what the problem
Imagine
is.
Imagine that. Yeah, why would he not want to?
All right, Kai, what was the final tally? Kai's coming in with fresh off parent teacher conferences. We pulling
yeah,
a,
the Vegas.
Yeah, pulling a 5 hour thing.
Yeah, it's the gauntlet. When you go to school and you're there from 7:30 to 7:30, that wasn't just 0 minutes, folks. That was 12
Ayo.
Hours, right? It's a long day. So I think do we want to count the bump up to 32.5? Is that what we're going off of?
Yeah, I think Vegas didn't have an understanding of the culture when they started. So
not at
give
all.
A little backstory.
Yeah.
Kai set the over under 7.5, and then he saw four parents within like 10 minutes, right?
20 minutes.
Like,
yeah. It was so fast.
So Vegas
so,
adjusted that line to 32.5. Smartly, live bet that.
Yeah, I think Vegas still panicked a little bit. It was definitely the under. I think the final total was 25 families, 20, okay. 26 families. I lost a little bit of count, you know, so Vegas might say I was, you know.
Let's just call it a clean
the
push. You saw 32
yeah.
and a half. I think that's reasonable.
Just call a push. Right. Everyone's happy. Yeah, conferences are good. High school conferences, honestly, pretty similar to middle school conferences. The kids are older. The conversations are the same. Most of the parents that come are the kids who are doing well. So you're saying your kid's doing great and keep doing it. And
it is kind of nice to say it to parents like, hey, your kid is really good at this. And
yes,
that can be kind of
fun. It's a much easier conversation. It's much more fun to be telling them good things and things they want to hear. Versus the tough combos, but yeah, it was good.
How many?
How
here's a question. So this is good, but I'm wondering how many kids come with their parents to conferences. I never came with my parents to conferences, and that was a good thing. I feel like because otherwise
yes,
you caught in some stuff.
Same.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, there were definitely some combos. There was one or two where it was awkward, where the kid definitely like didn't realize how poorly they're like, oh, and then the parents like, wait, you got that? And then the kid's like, oh, he just being kind of sampling.
I think, was it someone call my name in the hallway or?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say there were more kids with parents than I thought. I'd say about 50% of parents had a kid with them. So I was kind of surprised by that because in middle school, it was more of a thing, but I thought by high school, the kids would not want to be
just like be
them,
at home. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like you just don't go to conferences in high school, like if you're cool and normal, you know?
Yeah, like us.
As
a cool
parent,
normal
or...
podcast.
Are you saying parents or kids, Ice?
Kids. I'm sure it's fewer parents, but I'm sure you guys said that already. Like, because you're not micromanaging as much when they're growing up or whatever. But I mean, your kid would have to be struggling, I think, to want to go, right? I would imagine.
You think that? No,
I think,
very
I think
much
some
the
parents
opposite.
Just want to
no,
hear that they're
helicopter
kids
parents.
Yeah. I don't even think it's I think it's just more like if your kid works hard, you kind of want to be told like, "Hey, they're doing good things and you did something right raising them." I think it's kind of
yeah,
what it comes
I would
to.
Say
no, that's fair.
Yeah, that it's like the parents who have raised their kids to be responsible want to make sure they're still checking in on them even though they know their kid's doing fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they want that confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the parents have done a good job teaching their kids those lessons, so they shouldn't have to worry, but they still do because that's the kind of parents they are.
Right.
Anyway,
it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling, self-fulfilling prophecy or never-ending cycle of like, well, the kids whose parents are really invested in them turns out they tend to do well, and then you know, obviously, you don't see a lot of the kids who you probably do need to see their parents to talk because they don't have the support in the first place. So it's kind of
right.
Jokes on
fellas.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
We're the
All
ones
right.
who lose.
On that note, we're not a public education podcast. We are some Archers of the North, fellas. We got a lot of stuff to unpack here. I'm watching Bucks Pistons, so we gotta have something better than this.
I've got a fandom battle tonight. I'm watching the Cavs and the Thunder part two. We've already had a great game between Cavs Thunder. I'm watching the second round of that, so it's exciting for me.
Mitchell versus SGA.
We're like six games into the season, and somehow these two teams have played both their Eastern Western Conference. They've played twice. I don't understand the schedule. That makes no sense to me. Like, why is that a thing? But whatever, it's cool.
In-season tournament? I don't know. In-season tournament.
It's definitely not that. The court looks really normal, so it's definitely not the in-season tournament.
What is the science behind the weird courts? Can we break that down?
I think they want to be different. Yeah. But does there have to be? I didn't, so I'd like to hear about it. But why does it have to have like a blue court, and the court should be like, the wood should be the right color, and then you can do other stuff. There's a lot of stuff you can do that without the court being blue.
It's giving energy, like they're trying to be, you know, in Pokemon Stadium, where like the arenas could change to be like a water stage or like a fire.
You're talking about Smash version.
It's not working.
It's too much for the eyes.
Just have a court that looks like you play basketball on it.
Yeah. So basically, their plan based on the Zach Lowe article was to they wanted the whole thing to be painted. Like, that was the whole goal. That was where they started. Like, square one was, we're gonna make this different by painting the whole court, and then they kind of like branched off from there, which was a mistake.
I love this committee. They've got like 2 years to brainstorm this tournament, and what name do they settle on? The in-season tournament, like that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what we could really spice it up with? Let's paint some courts. That'll get the. And it's,
well, and
like,
it, apparently right. they didn't have any pushback from the teams. Like, the, according to Zach Lowe, who I'm sure is getting NBA sources, who I guess, what are they going to say? Like, no, the Celtics hated the idea, but
right.
Even like the iconic courts, like Lakers, Celtics, are like, oh yeah, sure, we'll paint the whole thing. But they told some teams, like, I think the Bucks is like a cream one. It kind of looks halfway normal.
Right.
But they like forced other teams to pick a more vibrant color than their first choice.
Just getting wrecked.
Why? And they're like, it has to be part of your normal color palette. It's like, okay, but maybe not choose like the very vibrant, brightest color for the main part of the court.
It's funny because like the Nets had that gray. They probably still have the gray court. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Brooklyn court is weird.
And it's gray, and like, that's a pretty. I mean, I would argue that's like not a like super alarming color, right? And even that, when you tune in and you're watching, you're like, this is weird.
Kind of jarring.
Right. Yeah. And so they're like, I want everyone to feel that all the time.
It's just like it is like that Maui Invitational. I feel like I watch it every year because the Badgers always play in it and somehow go to like,
isn't it just in like a hotel ballroom or something?
Yeah, for sure. But the court is like full of like all these designs, like these weighty patterns. And it's like, in the article, this is the last thing I'll quote about the article. Famous last words. I'll bring it up like five more times. But,
pod sponsor Zach Lowe article. Yeah.
they had to thicken all of the restricted area paint thickness so that the refs could see it clearer on some of the strange colors. In the trials of it, the refs couldn't tell where the restricted area was.
That makes
because
sense.
The color
yeah.
was yeah. It's, but like, why put yourselves in that situation?
Yeah.
So, fellas, we're just not going to call 3 second calls. So you can just camp.
We can't see it. Yeah.
can't see anything.
It's a charge or a block. I don't know. It's hard to tell where the circle is. Oregon is the one with the crazy court in college, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
That one
is
disgusting.
A nightmare to play on.
Yeah.
That thing is awful.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like
terrible.
The half court, the mid court logo is like bursting through the court almost. Yep. It's like, it's trying to make this three dimensional like pit in the middle. Yeah. It's just.
Oh, boy. Newly minted Big Ten edition, Oregon. All right. bring them down. Weird courts.
So,
we like it.
The Pacers court was the one you sent a screenshot of, Ice, right? Was that the one?
I think so.
Blue thing? Yeah. The Pacers don't even have blue on their.
The Thunder court was blue on blue. It was like a dark blue with a lighter blue restricted area, and then an orange logo. So it also just bad, like just not a good one. Bucks had a cream, and that was fine. But we get to see them throughout the rest of the season, so we'll keep a running segment on the awful courts that we see in the midseason tournament. But Ice, you came in with Wolves guy as your name, so we should wait for Jesse, right? Never mind.
Yeah, wait.
We can wait.
Ice, give us the other fandom. What's your other fandom? No, actually, don't. We can wait on that one too.
We gotta say something. My sister's at the Knicks Wemby game tonight, so that's fun.
Oh,
the Knicks are blowing them out, but
yeah,
Wemby's 1-for-9 with 4 points. So,
you know. Chet Rookie of the Year, you heard it here first.
I'm sure if you're watching on TV, there's like a Wemby watch because it's on ESPN. I bet they have like his stats on the bottom the whole time. The first game I watched was a Spurs game, and it was his stats were on the bottom the whole time. It was like, okay, cool. He has 3 rebounds, but anyway.
Do they still do the thing where you can have like a specific camera following a specific person? I know they had that. ESPN had that like multi-view option for some events where like you could watch just the camera focused on this player. I'm guessing if they could, they'd do that for Wemby. It would just be him.
I've never watched that. Like, have you watched one? Bench.
No. I didn't even know. It was a thing. but I always streamed it. # Scotty O, bad boy Scotty. But I can't remember what he wanted to be called. Scotty Bad Boy. Anyway.
There you go.
I would always stream it on ESPN. And it would ask me which of the streams I wanted. And it would have like the normal stream and then the like the above the basket and then like specific player names. I'm like, why would I do that? Who wants this? He's on the bench. Like, what am I supposed to be doing?
I want to see the eighth guy on the bench, his vantage point from behind the assistant coach.
I need the Beauchamp cam.
Thanasis is what you really want.
Oh, that's what we could talk about. We have our Bucks fans right here. While Jesse's not here, we can talk about the fellas.
Let's lock on Bucks.
Bucks are beating the Pistons by not very many points. So that's a good place to be.
That's a great place to be on a first night of a back to back. Chris is out. We love it.
They're up by 10.
I guess they were down. Sorry. When I checked it before I started recording, they were down by 2, and then I saw that a halftime score came in and they were up. So I didn't know what changed, I guess. But you're right. Go for it.
They look fine.
The thing that's funny that Ice you brought up in the other chat, but I'm gonna air out on the pod is Ice keeps questioning things in the Bucks chat. He's part of our Bucks, he witnessed one of Kai's deep dives of like 30 paragraphs.
I was shocked.
All right, here are my Bucks thoughts.
It was a Saturday morning. I woke up and there was 5 paragraphs. There's more than 5 paragraphs.
I've been sitting on this over
here. You really had to scroll. Like you had to scroll multiple times. Anyway, but Ice, every time Ice sends a message in the Bucks chat, he's like, so is this okay?
this is a different feeling. Even when I was a Packers fan, it was like, and I still had to learn how to be a Packers fan, but I wasn't in like a Packers fan chat. You know what I mean? I have like, I don't know. I have to learn how to be a Bucks fan. And if I'm in that chat, I gotta be a member. You know what I mean? So I want to be a contributing member. But
you're just like dipping your toe in the water with the
Packers. So is this okay? It was different. I don't know totally why. I think it's because Packers fans have been in like a rut for so long. It was easy to get in there with them because that's how all my fandoms are.
I live right in it.
Yeah, I was already ready for that. The Bucks thing is different because they could actually. I mean, the Packers could have won a title too, but not really, right? And you guys already felt that way, and I didn't. But then I learned that you guys were right.
You always feel that way, yes.
Right, but the Bucks. Not only are they like title winners a few years ago, but then they also have like a fun new thing. So it's like, I have the questions, but you guys also have the questions of like, is this okay that we lost to the Hawks? Is it, you know? And the answer is always yes, because it's the early season. It doesn't really matter. But
well, it is true though. We've got we're used to as Bucks fans having continuity. I mean, since we got Drew for those, like, what was it, 3 years, 4 years that Drew was on the team? 3 years. Yeah. And I mean, we keep bringing this up as a joke, but it really is true. I mean, Drew and Eric Bledsoe had a lot of similarities in how they played basketball and like what their games looked like. So, I mean, you've had
like 6 years of that.
Yeah. Kind of 6 years of knowing what to expect. And this year we have no idea. It's new coach. I mean, we don't have Bud anymore, obviously. And I mean, new hierarchy on the team. It's just, it's a really weird one. And I'll be honest, I just haven't watched much of the Bucks to this point because I'm just going to give it time before I'm going to give it a couple more weeks before I like dig into actually watching the games. Cause I'm just not sure.
Josh isn't sending 10 paragraphs on a Saturday morning yet.
No, I'm not.
That'll be saving it for his Jets tape.
And then I'll get there.
It's coming. Yep.
I'm excited to be in that spot with you, Kai. We'll get there. I just have more to learn. But I don't know. Also, side note, this is kind of a Bucks thing. I watched the whole Drew Holiday game because I went, me and Jesse went to the Wolves Celtics. It was not, it was definitely a Drew Bledsoe game. And he's just a, I don't know, man. He's a tough watch. I'll be honest.
If he, if he's off, he just kind of keeps chucking.
He can't do much. He really just can't do much.
He was pretty limited in this game. He couldn't do anything.
He's not hitting his threes.
Yeah.
He's not hitting his threes. And that's just him taking like tough twos or trying to post guys up. Like, it's, if he doesn't have a size advantage, it's going to
be tough. Was like being a big guy. And he was guarding Kat too. So he really truly was like, for a little while, he seemed like he was a four, but he was like 6'3".
Yeah, he's like a 6'3 post. And yeah. Probably, his legs are probably shot because he's guarding a 270 pound center. So he's just trying to.
Right. But he took like 17 shots. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Yeah. That team, was a weird game. Should be easy. It should be easy for him to kind of like fall into. Like, hey, I'm not feeling it in the first couple minutes. Like, let me just not take a bunch of shots.
Right. But,
like, for some reason, he wasn't doing that. I don't get it. I guess they didn't have Derek White that game either, so that's a little strange. Like, Derek White should absorb some of that. But you have Tatum and Brown and Kristaps Porzingis. Like, you should have enough people. I don't know why I said his full name, but you should have enough people.
It's a good name. Yeah. I agree.
Say Zinger like everybody else.
You guys hear the Simmons take where he was trying to. He was like four games, and he was trying to equate the Celtics starting five as like KD Warriors level tier and like LeBron Beatles. It was so bad. Basically, it was such a bad his logic was, well, name me the fifth best starter on like the Warriors team. And people were like Zaza. And he's like, exactly. He's like, Kristaps Porzingis is our fifth best starter. And he's like, okay,
he averaged 25 points. I listened to that pod.
Yeah.
But it was funny like, hearing him, but like, no, there's also, nobody like that.
Prime KD and prime Steph, a little better than Jaylen Brown, a little better than Jason Tatum, right? Like, so I don't know. The irony was funny. I appreciate Bill Simmons because he's true to who he is. He's a biased fan, and that's what we are. So but as I a biased Bucks fan,
yeah, I did hear him say like maybe the Bucks would just be better keeping Drew, and I'm not sure that I disagree with that. We'll see what happens with game stuff.
Drew probably keeps your floor a little higher defensively. I mean, it's the continuity thing you talked about. It's like if you bring back the same roster, the Bucks were what, like a 50-win floor basically as they were constructed, assuming they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Dame is a bit of a risk because now the defense is changing. I think the big change is like him and Beasley cannot be your starting backcourt. That's what we're learning because that thing is just
I could have told you that one.
Every game.
We knew that coming in.
Yeah. Ice could have been our coach. Ice is Coach Griffin. Ice is better than Coach Griffin. He's a military coach. You should look into hiring him. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But like we said, regular season just time to test things out, tinker with things. So I'll only be worried if it's January, February, and we're still like, this defense still looks terrible. And Dame and Giannis still don't look like they know how to run a pick and roll together and all this stuff. So.
As part of your book that you put in the chat, you included this is a separate one. Yeah, Kai's thesis. You included a kind of a layout of here are the kind of the players so far that seem like they could be part of playoff rotation, and that was not great. Like that didn't
it's
look
kind of a
very
depressing
good.
List.
Yeah.
Well, because it's really you got your big three, and everything hinges on
Chris
that.
Is Chris like, part Chris, of the big Chris, three? And does he play multiple games in a row for 30 minutes a night, 40 minutes a night?
It's been night and day when he's been in there. Like him closing out the Nets was so fun to watch. I don't know if you guys caught the end of that game. But it was just Chris and Giannis, pick and roll. Chris taking – go for it.
No, I saw a Twitter thread. I wasn't able to watch the actual game. But he was – yeah, he – Chris – it was a Giannis-Chris pick and roll, like, three times in a row when Chris hit a jumper and then he hit another jumper and then he found Giannis for like a free basket. And it was cool. And it was like, that's the type of stuff where it's like, that will work with Dame eventually. It's just, these guys will play together for quite a while.
Yeah. Theoretically our offense closing with those three should be insane. The space that like Chris should just have so much more space than he's ever had to do things. So it'll be awesome, but it all hinges on those three healthy. If any of them are off or can't play full minutes or anything, like your season doesn't work. But yeah, then when we broke it down, it was like, well, Brooke Lopez, sometimes it's like, if he's playing a team that has a real big and that big can't shoot, then you can play Brooke Lopez. So
that's
like,
such a specific thing. It's like, we're playing,
so
who are we playing like, in that situation, that scenario? Who was the matchup?
Yeah, you
can
play
this,
you can play Joel Embiid.
Yes, that's true. Yes, you can do
he
that.
You can play, like Jokic, I guess.
He can shoot,
But
I mean, no one can play Jokic, but yeah. Brook's probably yeah. in. Brook's probably playing in the game.
Yeah. He could play against Cleveland. They have, like, true bigs. But there's a lot of teams in the East. Like, the Hawks are kind of a small ball team. The Nets is – there's lots of – like, the Celtics have too many shooters. Like, a lot of teams you can't hide him on. So he doesn't really count. So then you got, like, big three. You got Jay Crowder, who actually looks good this year. And it's like, maybe Pat Connaughton, kind of. He hasn't looked good in like a year and a half. And then it's like, oh boy, this isn't making me feel.
We're just kind of breezing over Jay Crowder being part of that. And Jay Crowder's like 50 years old.
He's looked good this year. He's looked good this year, though, Josh. That's the thing. Because I thought he was dead in the water after watching him last year. But this year, he's legit. He's shooting like 55% from three. He's scrambling on defense.
Yeah, if he shoots 50% from three, let's just cash it in. Let's just take that.
Because that was the Jay Crowder the Bucks always faced, right? Every playoff series. Is like, yeah. We're just going to leave Jay Crowder open. It's like, oh, Jay Crowder just went 7 for 9.
For Miami, like, for the Celtics, God. For whatever team we're playing.
He's just gonna... just like every playoff series. And then, of course, Bud's like, no, I don't want to play this guy. And it's like, oh, great. Cool. Thanks, Bud. We just gave up 26 second-round picks for him, but it's fine.
Hey, we're compiling future thirds. We're adding a round of future drafts.
Dynasty trades. Mm-hmm. So, I do think the Crowder difference is in the Bud defensive scheme, they were all about not fouling. That was like the key to his defense is like, we just won't foul. We won't give them free throws. And the Adrian Griffin defense is like, we're going to pressure the ball like no other. So Jay Crowder's just getting into guys and being physical as heck. And I think that suits his game more. So that's my nerdy observation.
That makes sense. Cause if he was just trying to slide his feet last year, just like you can't hands move off. Yeah. He used to like lean into somebody. It's like kind of old man wrestling moves. Just lean for a while until someone falls over. That's Jay Crowder. Cool. Well, so where are we at? We've 7 games into the season. Something like that.
Probably 5-2.
It feels worse than that just because they haven't looked like dominant, right? The Celtics, for some of their games, have looked really dominant, except against the Wolves. And we'll talk about that in a little bit when Jesse's here, hopefully. Spoilers. But that'll be fun. All right. So I should talk about the Thunder. I know you're all waiting on it. Thunder have been fun. Thunder is super good. Like, they're just a super fun team. Chet, I think, is a better case for Rookie of the Year than Wemby at this point.
So far, I think so. Yeah.
Spicy. I like it.
Chet's been really – Chet's been what Wemby supporters want Wemby to be. Boom, got him. But, no, that's not really true. Like, Wemby's asked to do more in his team. Chet is, you know, on a team that is already built better without him or built fine without him. But, I mean, he's doing all this stuff. I just saw him get like 3 blocks in a row in the game tonight. Oh, yikes. Get him out of here.
Get him out of there.
He's a threat to the game. That's not a good
thing. He got ejected for celebrating a dunk. That's a tough way to go out.
For like one of the stars of the league. Like, normally they like give you that one. They're like, never mind. He's a star. We're not going to give him a second tech, but not Giannis.
It's one of the NFL things where they're like going to use that celebration in like a promo later, but. It's for now, exactly. He gets kicked out. Josh, Shea, I just clicked on the OKC box score.
Yeah, Shea's nuts.
Do you see what Shea's got right now?
Yeah, I've been watching him. He just doesn't miss.
22 minutes. He's 11 for 12 with 27 points.
What's insane is that they're not – well, now the second half, now they're changing some of the strategies. He's going to the line again because he just got fouled again. But it was just – they had, like, Caris LeVert ISO defense on him the whole first half, and he's like, okay, like, I'll just – nail every shot and get to the baseline and get to the wing. Anyway, it was nuts. But OKC fits really, really well together right now. It's a fun team. J Dub, J Will, our two Jalen Williams are playing well. Josh Giddey's been, but I mean, Lou Dort's kind of picked up the other end of that. Lou Dort's offensive game has come around a little more this year. Defensively, still in the Dortcher chamber, which is super fun. Shea. Missed one game, the game we lost to the Warriors, but has otherwise just looked really good, consistent from last year. And then Chet has been the missing piece. I mean, he's still too small for a center. Like, they played the Nuggets, and Jokic said he needs to get fatter, which is true. And Jokic just dominated Chet for like the whole game. And
Jokic said Chet. Yeah, I thought you meant Jokic.
Yes, like, no.
Jokic not need to get fatter. I would say
Jokic said that Chet needs to start eating bad food because he's Jokic and he's funny. But it's Chet. Anytime we're playing, like, I can't remember who Jonas Valanciunas plays for. Whatever team we were playing that had Jonas Valanciunas. I think he's played everywhere. Pelicans? But yes, it is Pelicans. There it was. Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas just, I mean, ate him alive. Like, there are those kind of centers in the league that Chet has no chance against at this point because he is legitimately the starting center for the Thunder and is playing. We don't really have a second option at big when we play other teams. At whatever point we play the Wolves this season, Ice, be prepared for a really good Wolves game because we have nobody to match up against.
They're not offensive. We'll get to it, but they're not offensive bigs in that way. I think they'll be okay.
That's true. Put Drew on them.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
But what's been fun about Chet, and this is just my bias coming into watching him play. This is just a Chet thing now. But he's, you know, at 7'2", whatever. He's one of those huge, gangly, like, I just assumed he was going to look kind of weak and just look like he was going to get pushed out of plays and kind of give up on things. But he sticks his neck in there and he's contesting as much as he can. He's taken shoulders and bumps and bruises and whatever else. And it seems like he's hanging in, which I was nervous that he was just going to kind of fold as flailing
with the frail build.
Yeah, right. That he was either going to just collapse or kind of start backing away from contact.
We all thought he was going to be one of those outside of the car dealerships, those big things that limbs that
that's basically what he looks like. But he kind of stays in front of people, so I'll take it. And no, I'm not talking about Wemby, Jesse. I'm talking about Chet Holmgren, future rookie of the year, Chet Holmgren.
What's the difference?
Yeah, the same play. That's kind of what we're talking about. So Jesse's here. We're all four here. How's it going? Ooh. This is great. Now we can start the podcast. We haven't really said anything to this point. So now
we're not even recording yet. So throw it all out. So parent-teacher conferences.
What was the over-under on the line for that one? I've said all I need to about the Thunder. They're super fun. The West is stacked, but
more like the Thunder, am I right? Yeah. All right.
Good start. Welcome.
I wanted to give you guys the floor for the Wolves stuff because you saw the Wolves Celtics game. We're riding high right now. It's exciting. So say some things about the Wolves. This is fun times.
Yeah, they're blowing out the Pelicans right now too.
It's such a trap.
26-point game. I don't think
Josh
it is.
Josh is trying to get audio for us when we're inevitably like 12-14 and just lost to the Wizards.
I want you to enjoy it, but I also would do that if something goes terribly wrong this season. I'm gonna splice some of this stuff, but for right now, that doesn't matter because nothing's gonna go wrong. You're riding high.
It's a good sign if you're feeling petty enough to potentially do that. That's a good sign for where the Wolves are at. Jimmy Butler stuff, but yeah. So Jesse and I went to the Wolves Celtics game. The Celtics were 5-0, and so did Lane. Lane is around here too, and Annie.
So did Annie.
The Celtics were 5-0. The Wolves were 3-2. And it was awesome. It was so fun. It was probably like looking at the game itself. It was probably one of the most fun sporting events I've ever been to. Cause it was a close game the whole time. It went to overtime and then they won and in like really cool fashion, you know, it was amazing. So yeah, I mean, everybody looked good except one guy.
It was awesome. It was incredible. I will criticize now. We like right around if a game is close and there's 2 minutes left or so, we're like, did we ever run an offense? And we just refuse. We refuse to run an offense. We just go, okay, pick it, switch, dribble. Oh my God, shot clock violation. And like it's the most infuriating thing. It's all game. We'll like do these lobs to Rudy. We'll do some off ball cuts, these great things. And there's 2 minutes left and we're up three. And it's like, all right, Ants had the ball for 20 of the 24 seconds of the shot clock. And now he passes out to J-Mac and J-R. And I just don't know why it's so consistent. And I don't know if it's just like, you know, young or like clampy. It's so frustrating to watch. It was a fun, awesome game. It's just so.
It's like an NFL team that's like, you know, that's winning by four or whatever. And they're trying to run out the clock. And they literally just run the ball up the gut. Yeah, they run the ball up the gut for -1 yard. Then they run the ball up the gut for no gain. And now it's 3rd and 11. The other team is going to get the ball back with like 1:30. If you don't get a first down, you just run the ball up the gut for 0 yards. And it's like, it took time off the clock, but there was no hope, right? Like, and that's how it is with the Wolves. Ant will hold the ball, like Jesse said, for 20 seconds, and then they'll send a double. Because like they know they can rotate enough that you won't find the open guy in the 4 seconds left. So then Ant will like throw it to the next guy and he's covered and that's it, you know. So it happened multiple times and it happened a million times last year and it was a big part of why we collapsed so much. Mm-hmm. And So that was the negative part. So way to get like to the negative so quick.
The analogy is like
highlight of my life and also good guys.
Well, the analogy though too fails in the sense that like how much possessions are left. It would be like if you're up 7 early in the fourth and you're like, well, time to do 3 run plays, and it's like we don't need to kill time yet. Like it was still like I looked up and we were up by like 5 with like 2:30 on the clock. And I was like, we saw so many possessions. We don't need to ISO ball for 20 of the 20. To be fair, though, once overtime came, we didn't do it. Like we actually played offense again. So, like, live game.
Got some buckets.
We adjusted, and it was good. Although one of our favorite moments, I think you probably know what I'm talking about, is in overtime, Ant had scored, like, I think it was, like, 7-0 run Ant himself. And like we were all lovey, he had a three for sure. He had like a layup, and so we're like MVP, MVP. And so we're up, we are up 7, and there's with like probably a minute ten left. So
and we
like
have the ball,
pretty good.
Yeah, the game's
we
like
have
over.
The ball. And 22-year-old Ant hears MVP. He's like, you know what this place needs? A deep 3 early in the shot clock I am going to proceed to airball allowed him a little bit. And they came back a little bit. Oh, they did. They came back like to within 5 or 3 or something.
Yeah, we had a shot with like,
that's not.
Yeah. We had a shot with like 10 seconds left that Jaden McDaniels made. But if he would have missed it, then the Celtics would get the ball with 10 seconds left down 3. And that was after and that was post Ant. Feeling himself maybe a little too much.
So does the MVP MVP chant keep going through that? Does it kind of fizzle? No. Does it just dead stop at the air?
Goes
ball?
Away immediately.
Yeah, right around the air ball, the MVP chant did in fact stop. The deep early 3 air ball when you just need to run some
that's
time.
When he needed it most,
keep,
Jesse.
That's
he
when needed
that chant.
Yeah. Yep. Giannis is also king at that. Like he'll have 3 great possessions in a row and then airball 3 from the top of the break. You're like, oh, that was dumb. Like, that shouldn't have happened.
Well, yeah, this year it's so bad because it's – who's he got next to him? He's got Dame Lillard wide open. He's like, nope.
He took 7 threes in the last game.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
I saw all of those attempts. He did make one, though, and that's what's going to keep
– He did make one.
It was
the last one.
Yep.
That's like
cheap to get hot. That's what they say.
Yeah. Like, so the argument, I mean, the argument used to be you got to shoot him to keep the defense honest. But as the defense, you're never going to guard, right? No. Like, just don't.
Well,
there's no point
for the first
percentage wise.
In like 2 years, he was playing. Who was he playing? He got fouled on a 3-pointer the other night because he went 3 for 3 at the start of a game. And then he got fouled. Guess how many free throws he made off of that?
1.
That would have said 1 as well.
He went 0 for 3. The true Giannis experience. Tonight he goes 3 for 3 from 3. He just breaks every free throw. And by the way, you guys have to see the tape on Twitter tomorrow or whatever. It's one of the softest ejection calls I think I've ever seen. So it was Giannis's second tech tonight. He dunked over Isaiah Stewart, he's the guy who tried to murder LeBron James. You guys remember Isaiah Stewart, kind of a chippy guy. He stared him down. He didn't say anything. He stared him down, and they teed him up.
Get him out of there.
I hate that.
Get him out.
There's no room in the game for that guy.
No, I speak from experience as a middle school basketball coach. You just can't. You're waiting for an eruption at that point.
Fists.
Honestly, I bet it's the refs just trying to prevent the Isaiah Stewart like bloodbath, palace at the palace.
We'll give you what you want.
I also think it's funny too, like, that, like, do you think the refs remembered he had the first peck? Because I feel like you're like Ant had 5 fouls in the first, like had 5 fouls like middle all the way through the fourth when he came back in. And there were a lot of plays where I was like, I think they would have called that earlier in the game. Like, it was very clear.
Yeah,
they were
for
like
sure.
Tatum, I think, like, had 5. Yeah, like Porzingis had 5 and Tatum. It was such a foul-y game. But it is very clear that like the refs know they don't want it, which I think I'm cool with, honestly. Like if you do it for everyone equally, we don't want to follow them out, you know, et cetera. I'm cool with it. But I do wonder if they're like, we'll tee them up. And they're like, you just threw them up.
Can we take that back?
I think Adam Silver's going to be calling the refs, the NBA officials, like, yo, like, maybe don't eject Giannis with, like, the whole second half. Like, that's not great. League.
Well, here's the thing, though. Did you see the stare down? I just don't think there's any room for it in the game.
He stared right at him. Right at him.
Yeah.
So
I have one other Wolves. I'm coming in hot. Yep. The other thing Ice and I were just is like the Wolves are very legitimate on defense this year. Boston came in scoring like 126 points a game. We had them to 101. And it's because outside of one guy that Ice and I apparently aren't gonna stay in the pot, which I'm cool with not saying his name. We have really good defenders all over. You didn't say it earlier. I'm not going to say it now. I'm going to force you to say it. We have really good defenders. Awesome. But Rudy, it was very clear that we figured out how to use Rudy better in the offseason, both offensively and defensively. It's way more comfortable. But at one point, I think it's because Rudy was out for Porzingis, I want to say it was. But, Rudy just ends up playing on-ball defense at the three-point line and is just getting into it to the point where he's, kind of got his guy trapped. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to do this. And he's just aggressively,
We lost Jesse.
The suspense.
He's aggressively.
He's aggressively spamming he was like, his groin.
While Jesse reconnects, he was 35 feet from the basket and he was he was all over Porzingis. No. He had already picked up his dribble.
Hey, wait, you're back,
and then
Jesse.
They,
you're back.
They called a timeout and it was hilarious. And it was, the place went nuts.
Couldn't handle,
it was just
you
press.
Couldn't handle the heat.
It was Rudy Gobert press defense at deep, deep three, third, in the
it's supposed to be a win when you pull them away from the basket, but in this case it was just they couldn't take advantage. It was awesome.
It was funny too because you could tell he started I'm out of place, and then everyone was kind of cheering him on. He's like, all right, I mean, what's the worst that's gonna happen? And just flaily, all over the place. And again, in my head I was like, I think he's fouled a couple times, but they swallowed the whistle. I'm not gonna whine about that.
We in high school we ran the 1-3-1 zone. That was our switch up. We normally run man to man, but when we switched up, we ran 1-3-1. And at the top, we'd always have our really lanky guy, our Rudy Gobert, as it were, Hunter Reckner, and he'd be doing that, just arms completely side to side, just flailing around the whole time. And we could only run it for a couple minute bursts because the 1-3-1 requires the baseline person to sprint from corner to corner, back and forth, back and forth. But up top there, Hunter Reckner was just like Rudy Gobert. Hunter what I
wrecking,
imagine Rudy was
wrecking
doing.
Him.
Yeah, just wrecking him.
Is he Hunter Reckner? Is he related to Hunter Lukey at all?
No, he's not.
Normally, relation happens by first name.
Shoot.
Mm-hmm. In some cultures, that's probably
you
true.
You know, Hunter Lukey got on the field in the Dallas's. Dallas's loss.
I pointed it out to Lane on the couch. She was watching the Grassy or something on the TV, and I was watching it on the computer. Hunter. And I was like, Lane, look, he went to Spencer. That's where Josh and City are from.
Dak targeted him technically on a pass. I mean, he was sure he was just grounding it so that he didn't get sacked, but
target's a target.
He was the closest receiver.
Why are you explaining it? Just say he targeted him.
Targeted him.
Pick him up.
Pick him up. Mansky's already bid $50 on him in sleepers. I don't stand a chance.
Got him.
Anyway,
for the Wolves, big picture, this is probably the best you could have felt about the Wolves, at least since Jimmy Butler, and maybe since before that. So, we're in a dangerous spot. It's unfamiliar territory. Yeah.
Speaking of unfamiliar territory, the Pistons now are leading the Bucks, so that's a fun night. Huh? We got Giannis ejected, Chris is sitting out because it's back-to-back, and now it's just Dame and the Scrubs against the hungry young Pistons team.
Familiar feeling.
Fun, fun, fun. Yeah, we've all been
Dame
here.
Dame and the Scrubs.
Marcus Sasser just lighting.
Love that band name.
Wolves, it's last year. How would you describe the way you came into the season last year versus the way you came into the season this year? Did that change, the expectations change the way it feels at the beginning of the
game
season?
Game one, Ice and I very much messaged each other, this is the same team as last year. So it's been a very nice game since then. We were very down after game one, and especially down after the stupid freaking Hawks. Oh my God!
They were up. The Wolves were up by 25 or something, and they lost by literally 20. So it was it was tough.
Yep. But I think you can clearly. I mean, I guess here's your bit to play for me in 2 weeks. I'm very high on the Wolves now. I do think we are legit. Again, everyone needs to stay healthy. That's always the biggest if. And it does. It really makes me lament not having our dudes against the Nuggets last year. I don't think we would have won, but wouldn't, like, the Nuggets have been on record saying we were the hardest out of the playoffs. We didn't have our main on-ball defender in Jaden McDaniels the whole series, right? We had, like...
Yeah, and I think Nas is out, too, and Jamal Murray lit us up, so...
Yeah, Jaden McDaniels was the piece that I didn't expect to be so important that's been super fun for you guys. Like, his ability to just be a complete stopper on defense makes that unit, that side of the ball, yeah, just really tough.
He's very much our Drew Holiday. Like, it's a very similar role that we want him to play.
On defense, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, definitely different on offense.
Shots a game.
Yeah, definitely different on offense, but he does provide things on. He's still very much learning his way on offense. I'm not ready to say he's, like, a lost cause on offense. There are moments, but when you have Ant and I guess I was going to say the other guy, but I'm not going to say him. When you have Ant.
Carl Anthony Towns.
All right, fine.
That's okay. He's been pretty good, actually. So,
yeah, he's played well tonight.
Just that one game was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been shooting just terribly. He's shooting like 28% from three going into tonight. So that's, I mean, again, five game sample, six game sample. There we go.
I don't think he lost his shooting ability. I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
No.
But it's a small sample stuff at the beginning of the season. Hopefully that should even out. Best shooting big man should be or something. That's what he says, right?
Are they here first?
He changed the game.
Defense is real. If we are healthy, I mean, we're obviously, I'm not going to say contender, but if everybody is healthy, I wouldn't be shocked at a deep playoff run. Like with how we're playing, with who we are, with the West being, like, it's Nuggets and else, I feel like. Because, like, right now, the second best team in the West would be the Mavericks, right? Like, I mean...
Old friend, Josh. Old friend.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to swerve really quick. I was mean to them, and I should not have said that. The Sixers have been just balling, just straight balling. And I know it's a regular season.
Coaching matters.
Like, they already beat the Celtics tonight. They're like 6-2, 6-3. I don't know. They're good. They're very good, and I very much wrote them off early. 6-1. They're 6-1. They just overtook Boston for top of the East.
You know who beat them, though?
Yeah. Right. No beat the Nuggets. Also, in that
– Let's just not say any team names. Just keep –
For those who don't know, I screenshot out of the fact that the Wolves and the ESPN power rankings absolutely love that we are 6. I just
miss you.
14 spots seems like a lot. You know what I mean? Like, when I saw that we were 20 last week, and they're like, oh, bad week. Like, they're bad ranking. We're going to move them up 14. I was like, Jesus Christ.
That is absurd. Like, if you're making any adjustment over about half the league's worth of distance over, like, a three-game sample, I think you've done too much. I think you're doing too much at that point. Like, just move them a couple spots.
Our big adjustments was we went from the Wolves missing the play-in entirely to probably be in there at the end. You know, and that was just a minor change that we had.
Like, okay. Yeah, you got to stick to something. You have to have some kind of gumption, right? Stick to it for a little bit.
Have we talked Wemby yet? Can I have my Wemby watch?
I basically talked.
My sister's watching him right now.
Ooh.
So that was all the Wemby talk.
Yes.
I don't have too much Wemby talk. I think, like, the only two things I was going to say mainly is not even about Wemby. It's about the Spurs. Cause it's my fandom, right? Fandom update. Want to do any fandom?
I did the Thunder.
This would be the introduction.
And Ice did the Bucks, I guess. Nice. So,
yeah.
The Spurs are, like, I think we're a little fool's goldy at 500 right now. We're probably going to miss the playoffs is my vibe. I don't know. It'll see. We'll have to wait till Vassell's back and Johnson's out for us tonight, too. I think we'll probably be, like, a 10.
Dude, look at you naming Spurs players. It's fun. I like this.
Yeah, all right. We still got Sochan.
You said Vassell.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Devin Vassell. You don't know Devin Vassell? Get the hell you don't know Devin Vassell.
That's cool. That's awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. But I think the thing I was going to say about Wemby, I was looking at it today. I did a little mock research today. You know how it is. I think Wemby ended up in, like, we said it before, the perfect place for him, you know, like, to have, because what he's going to need, there's no, like, talent issue there. It's going to be a lot of fundamentals. And there is no greater organization and no greater coach to teach fundamentals of basketball than Spurs and Greg Popovich. And, like, the other thing, too, is I had different views of this take. Initially, I thought you don't want your cornerstone piece year one of the rebuild. You know, because it was. This was the very first draft where they didn't have DeJounte Murray. Right. Mm-hmm. We traded him, I think, after the 2022 draft. But I was looking, the Spurs have 15 first round picks in the next 7 years. Ooh. And they got eight first round picks in the next 3 years. They have
Eight first round picks in the next. That seems literally impossible.
Three 2024, three 2025, and two 2026.
What?
What do you do? You don't want all those picks. Like, well, you don't want all those rookies, right?
It's like, it's so good for Wemby because Wemby gets to come in and be the cornerstone immediately. Like, if he had ended up on, like, Detroit, or I guess Houston would have been fine, or OKC, there would be kind of this, like, how do you incorporate Wemby amongst Cade? How do you incorporate Wemby? It's very much like, how does everyone else incorporate amongst Wemby? Like, there's not even a discussion of the guys that Josh laughed that I just named being anywhere in the same field.
I laughed at the fact that you could name them. That's the
point. Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So that is my point, is that there's no one that you're like, wow, how does Wemby fit amongst Sochan? You know, that could butt heads. It's like, no, it's not. So it's like very early on, it's Wemby's franchise. I think that's going to help a lot from the development perspective. All of those first, you can get, like, you can figure out where he's going to go and what you need from him. And he's very much, he's going to play the Giannis role on defense. And has potential to be better than Giannis at that. I'm not saying he is going to be, but like, I think it's just like, I've watched probably two or three games of him, and it's just incredible his ability to just move. Just to, like, it seems like such a silly thing, but just to, like, pick up his feet and not look, because we have seen Taco fall, we have seen Bol Bol, we have all.
He's so, like, tall. Yeah.
The big issue with all, like, the difference between all those guys and Wemby is entirely agility. That's, like, pretty much what it is, right? Taco Fall and Bol Bol are just stick figures out there, right? They just cannot move at all. And I remember the first game I watched of Wemby, he, like, pump faked a three and then drove by Eurostep lay-in. And I was like, that's all. That's, like, that's all you need to see right there. Like,
that's
it
a
was,
big man.
I know. It was, and I was like, the fact that he can even do that. I don't think Taco Fall or Bol Bol I've ever seen do anything close to a Eurostep drive to the basket. You know, like, it's just impossible at that height.
With defenders around him.
Yeah, with,
like,
real humans.
Not just on their own.
With real NBA players. So, like, so I think it is, it's just so exciting. Like, as I've redone my take of, you don't want your best player coming in early. It does, when it's Wemby, it doesn't matter. You just take him no matter what, right? And then you can build around him. You got eight future firsts in the next 3 years. You can get so many things. And, like, it's, I think they're just in such a great spot. And I also think, again, I'm glad Wemby didn't end up in, like, New York or LA. I think that would have been just too much. As it, like, I think Spurs is, like, a nice place to just, like,
hunker down.
Yeah. Yeah, just grow. Yeah,
have a burrito.
From a ballad perspective, you get it, Kai. Kai gets it. Kai loves his Spurs.
My mom just Facebook messaged me LOL with no...
She's listening. Live.
She's listening. We're doing live pods now, right? You watch us on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't know how we got it set up besides just vibes. Just feel it.
So Jesse, you talked about the Spurs draft picks, I had to remind myself. So Spurs have eight first round picks in the next 3 years, and the Thunder have nine first round picks in the next 3 years. Technically they have 10. But the fourth one for next year, the worst of their four first-round picks goes to Utah, I think. Nine picks. So 17 picks in the first round over the next 3 years for the Thunder and the Spurs.
You guys own 40% of the next draft, like 3 years.
You know, Josh, I love that you were saying it from like a fun, like, we have this together thing. I don't count that many. I counted earlier for you. You got three in 2024. You got four in 2025. You got one in 2026. You're at eight.
That's eight.
That's eight.
Well, it depends on Houston's first round.
Depends
pick
on the pick protections. Well, you gotta look
and
at,
we have our own and the Clippers first in 2026.
Oh, wait, I should be in this. Hold on. Give me just a second.
Yeah, wait, which one are you doing? Are you doing Portland or which one are you?
No, I'm not a Portland fan. Get Portland out of my face.
Get in here, Utah. Sorry.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Embarrassing.
Kai, what is the Celtics?
Suns.
Kai, what are the Celtics future first round picks? Yeah.
Suns picks. We have another pick in 2032, I think. And that's what I got there.
Yeah.
Clippers, we'll talk about it. We don't have any picks left either. But we got James Harden.
James.
What?
All right. Sorry. Wait. Hold on.
Yep. We got, right where you are, really.
2024. We only have
okay.
Our own.
Oh.
It goes to OKC if it's not in the lottery. Which Ayo. This is. That's. I don't even know what that will be from. 2025. We got honestly, three. 2026.
I think these are fake. These are like Mansky trades team. Like,
didn't happen. I don't know what's going on. No, we have odd year picks. So we have Cavs and Timberwolves in 25. We have Cavs and Timberwolves in 27, and Lakers in 27. We have four firsts in 27. So we're kind of really in this for the long haul. And that's pretty much my Jazz update, by the way. It's pretty brutal. I mean, like it's just because you have the number 27th overall value guy, according to Bill Simmons. Doesn't mean it's not painful every night.
Which one
was
that? Who was that guy again?
Walker Kessler, one of the best players in the NBA.
Was it Lauri Markkanen? Sorry, I thought it was Lauri Markkanen.
He was in there, too. He's
not
very
nearly
good
as valuable as Walker Kessler, Josh. Come on.
Yeah, it might be.
The team is horrific. It is horrific. But anyway, that's it.
do you happen to know – do we know who the – can you name four players on the Jazz? Obviously, Walker Kessler.
It's the ones that you know. Jordan Clarkson is one of them. Yeah, he's still balling for the same team.
Why haven't they traded him?
He's valuable.
High.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get something for him.
At some point, you need players, I guess, right?
Thunder, go give him a pick. Give a pick for Jordan Clarkson.
We really do not need another guard. Very much don't need
I watched him. The Wolves Jazz game, so here's what I got. I got Talen Horton Tucker, Ochai Agbaji, and then Colin Sexton, and I think that's all I got. All
right. Remember this summer when I was all in on like that Bucks Sexton rumor for like 5 days?
Well, you were also in on the Bucks Dame rumor, and then it ended up being true. So I don't know what that was this summer that you were in the Bucks Sexton rumor. That was this year.
Yep. Remember that?
You guys
remember those parent teacher conferences I had back in
last
the day?
Year, yeah.
Crazy times. Fandom update: the Suns are not deep, but the Beal's coming back. So, you know, now we've got, six rotation guys, seven rotation guys. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's big.
I'm coming to terms with, you know, our seeding is probably not going to be great, right? We might be the, you know, seventh seed, eighth seed. We might be a play-in team. But that's all right. We'll win the games when they matter, assuming we got our three healthy. Draft pick update. Anyone want to guess when the next Phoenix Suns have a draft pick is?
Oh, man.
2020.
Well – own yourself. Swap, yeah. It's definitely your swap. You probably have like a 2026 that you're not gonna get for yourself. Maybe so that's my question for you. With or without swappy?
Just
objectively
just own ourselves or own our own pick because
no
we
potential
swaps.
Swap, okay, so let's go. 2029 is my guess.
I would say 2028. Price is right.
Well, I'm assuming Fanspo has to be a reliable site, and I'm through the year 2029, and all I see are second round picks. So I'm assuming it's at least 2030. Oh yeah, it is. It is 2030. We get 2029. We get a pick from Brooklyn or something.
2029. Hey, I won this. Be impressed on that, everybody. I did this.
Yep. All right, and so the Suns, we never have draft picks, but we might win a title. And the Clippers, just, you know, we don't need picks either.
Mm-hmm.
Forget them picks. We got James Harden, and we haven't won a game since we got him. But, you know, just takes time to gel, right, boys? Just
what
a
weird
games,
team the Clippers
months.
Are now.
How did that – like, Harden was like, I'm only going to the Clippers, that's it. I hate everything, and I hate all of you. And the Clippers were like, okay, we'll still give something up. I just don't understand how the Clippers weren't like.
I don't understand. I think it was just It's like trying to trade with Ice in fantasy where he's holding firm and you're like, Ice, I know you're going to give me this player. I'm the only guy who's talking to you.
Yeah.
And then you're finally like, oh, just forget it. Like, I'd much rather do this trade now than wait 3 weeks to do this trade. I think it's basically that. Daryl Morey is Ice is what we've learned.
Ice, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Clippers weren't like, all right, we'll give you 3 future second round swaps. Like, there shouldn't be any I it seemed like Sixers actually got picks and some players, and I was like, there's no one else. There's nobody else who is in this market right now. Oh, Anthony Edwards windmill dunk. Anthony Edwards windmill dunk. Guys, are you watching? Oh, my God.
My laptop, if you unplug it, then it dies, then it turns off.
Oh, so, that's
so I am not.
If I turn my laptop off, it goes off, too.
Oh, my God. That's a good fandom update.
So Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, Paul George. Give me
Zubac.
The number of playoff series, because Jesse did this right after we traded for Dame. Number of playoff series that include all 4 of those players that play
zero.
In a series.
Zero. I'll say it first.
Kawhi,
zero. Okay, Kyle,
Paul George, Harden, and Westbrook.
No, there was some Twitter joke where it was like, look at can you name me even like one better starting 5 than this? And it's like, yeah, like I can name you a million teams that will play like. Those guys won't even play 5 playoff games together.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're not wrong. Like, it's a bad feeling to go all in on like team all injury, team load managed mm-hmm. to the extreme. And I'm not really sure the fit on the court. Like, Harden feels like a weird guy to integrate onto the Clippers. You know, like, I don't know if we needed like a ball.
Given you already have
score.
Westbrook, it made no sense. Right. It's like it's like a really bad version of like Dame and CJ, and that didn't work either. You know, like you don't need two ball dominant guards.
It'd be like if Dame and CJ were already playing with like 2 stars too, where it's like you don't like a terrible version of that where you don't need that. Like it's a weird team, but you know, I think in the NBA. Is, you know, it's not about being a deep team, it's about having 3 or 4 really good players, right? So I'm talking myself into that. That's why we're going to win in the West. Obviously, basically, if we could turn the injuries off, like in 2K, we'd be in the Western Conference Finals, but we all know that probably won't be what happens.
I would say, this is not going to come as anyone's surprise that I like them. I would say there is definitely a window where the Clippers could, like, you can talk yourself into the Clippers winning the finals. It's just very
unlikely.
We've been
doing that since Lob City, baby. Since the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin days.
But, like, when healthy, Kawhi is still very dominant. We've seen a lot of stretches of Kawhi being still one of the best two-way players in the league. Paul George.
Playoff P? You can
playoff
talk yourself
P.
Former
well, exactly. That's what I'm, so all you really need is to realize that you took your dinner out an hour ago and left it on the counter and didn't heat it up. Put it back in the fridge. All you really need that stuff up there. You walked in the kitchen, saw my dinner sitting there, haven't heated it up, haven't done anything. Back here is not real. Paul George has played.
Analogy. Basically, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are your dinner, and that you haven't heated up.
Exactly.
Fact, maybe you just don't even need them. Maybe just avoid that. Eat it. You'll get food
poisoning. The thing is that, like, I think Paul George – I do still think healthy Paul George and Kawhi have ceilings that are enough. If anything, it's weirder with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Like, because it's got you – if you want to win games, you have to funnel it through the hopes that Kawhi and PG can be those two. And Harden and Westbrook seem like they inherently just take away opportunities from those two.
Yeah, they don't augment their – I guess the idea is that you just let Paul George and Kawhi just be like – insanely defense focused, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's like the best usage of them.
Sure.
We did get NBA champion PJ Tucker though. So I'm excited for that PJ just to get chippy with every wing in the West. PJ's just gonna
one of the reasons I love that I like doing these fandom things is because I haven't seen anything about the Clippers, like about the actual stuff on the court. So you might be able to answer this but is Kawhi and Paul George playing like regular minutes? Are they playing like regular healthy basketball players at this point? Where like
Based on ESPN, I'll pull up Paul George's stats.
Perfect. I love this.
Paul George is playing 33 minutes per game, and he's played all six games.
Okay.
So Paul George is, I mean, Paul George has always been less of the issue. It's always been Kawhi.
Yeah.
And Kawhi, let's find what we got here. It says Kawhi has been playing 33 minutes per game, and he's also played all six games.
Okay.
We're off to a good start.
So theoretically, this should be the healthiest version of this that we've had.
Aren't you like 3-3 right now?
As we're 3-3 and we're six games in, yes, this is the healthiest we've ever been. This is the best it's ever been.
We're right.
I think you're also losing tonight. I think you might be 3-4, but I don't know. It's
yeah,
good.
We won't.
Good.
We lost to the Brooklyn Nets. It's fine. Right?
Well, they are. They got Cam Mikhail Thomas.
Bridges.
Yeah.
How can you guard Cam Thomas?
Yeah.
Honestly, is Cam Thomas? Let's just have a conversation. Is Cam Thomas an NBA All-Star?
He got hurt. He got hurt tonight. I lost money on it. It doesn't matter. They would have won it if they had any integrity.
If he played the full 48, they know I'd cash. They know I'd cash.
They know I would cash. I mean, they would cash.
Inside job.
Cool.
My $5 ticket was too big. They had to pull him.
It was actually $10. So.
Oh,
$2. But yeah, he's like, his scoring numbers are incredible. He's like, he's efficient. He's scoring 30 a game. It's weird, but it's happening. But it doesn't matter because I think he's hurt now. So
yeah,
that's tough.
So football, well, huh, fellas?
Football. Let's talk some good bad stuff, huh? I've just tallied the updates. As they
oh
say.
Boy,
everyone does this.
Did you account for bye weeks, Josh?
No. I don't know how I would do that. What do you mean?
Just I don't know how many bye weeks we each have had because you can't get a win or a loss on a bye week.
Right. I have not. I just count the wins and the losses.
I got it. I am a simple man.
I
opened a tab
plans.
And it was I'm already done.
I can't. It's too much work. So let's talk first about the big wins, big losses of our good bad teams. Let's start with first place. First place right now is Jesse. Congratulations, Jesse. Solidly in first place. Jesse has two main contributions. Chiefs good. Surprise. That has been good so far. The Chiefs have been good.
That would do it.
And the best pick of the draft, probably, because it made me go the opposite. Panthers bad.
Panthers bad.
Because he was very upfront about it from the beginning, saying I'm picking the Panthers bad because they're just going to be bad. Doesn't matter their schedule, they're just going to be bad. And I think they're the worst team in the league. Technically, the Cardinals have a worse record, but the Cardinals have been more competitive. The Panthers have just been atrocious, like consistently. And so 7 losses for the Panthers and 7 wins for the Chiefs is a good place to start. So Jesse. Mm-hmm. You also have the Jaguars good, 5-2. Rams bad, 3-6. They've stumbled after. And Raiders good was your steal, and they are 500. So, and on the upswing after the Josh McDaniels firing, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Good stuff. Anything else to say, Ice? Are you talking about the sheet, or is this about the good, bad team thing?
No, someone was making a weird noise.
That was Jesse going, mm-hmm. He was like checking them all off. He was excited about all the things that are going well. So no real surprises there. I don't know. Is there anything to talk about those teams? That's Jesse's stuff. He's in first place. Congratulations, Jesse. Anything to say?
Jesse, what did you get for dinner?
So I have some leftover pasta as well as some leftover Thai pad. No, I don't need very much.
Oh,
Thai pad. Got some leftover aspa and some Thai tab. I also just got a letter from my health insurance that let me know that other changes have been made to your in-network copay, deductible, co-insurance, and out-of-pocket maximum. They don't list what they are. They're just letting me know that every single thing has changed. And then they say, if you don't do anything, you're good. So that's probably... Can't dig any deeper into that.
I would never dig into that. I don't know if you're the type that would, but that's all I need to know. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. You have changed the fundamentals of every aspect of this. I'm ready to re-enroll. No questions asked.
Would you, Josh? Would you dig into that, or would you just say, "All right, cool"? Same.
I would not. So NFL. are we worried about the Chiefs at all? Where are we at on the Chiefs? Are we like Chiefs will be fine? I know we talked about in the
Chiefs
chat a little bit. Obviously defense has been like the leading factor. They're
offensive
fine, but not good. Mm-hmm. The Travis Kelce Mahomes thing, teams are starting to just load up on that. The receivers can't do anything. So where are we at with the Chiefs? What's our general vibe?
I still like, I think you can acknowledge that the Chiefs have not offensively played very good this year. I think that's very fair. I said this a long time ago, I'll stand by it. Mahomes is in the 2010s LeBron era, and it's just like, until someone proves otherwise, it's dumb. Because I remember I was always like, wow, LeBron's team's not going to look like this year. And then they're always good, you know? And so I'm not – I got to learn at some point in my life. And so I'm not going to be – you know, we heard all this panic last year with the Chiefs and wide receivers too. I mean, like, this wide receiver core isn't substantially worse than the one that won the Super Bowl with this exact team last year. So I think it's just – And also, again, aren't they top of the league still? Are they 7-1?
They're 7-2.
7-2. Oops.
Yes,
oops.
They're close.
Are Ravens top?
Ravens are 7-2 as well. Yep.
Okay. It feels like you're really picking hairs when you decide how the Super Bowl winning team that's also tied for the best record in the league is, you know, not doing so well this year.
That's
you know,
true. Like, people say picking hairs.
Splitting hairs. I was on it too.
Picking.
Yeah.
Picking hairs. Splitting hairs. That was a hair. That was a hair on the teethy teeth kind of moment.
Yeah. The hair of my skinny teeth.
See, Josh, this is the thing. I like when you were in the pod because I can say things like hindsight's 50-50 and no one says anything. You know.
No, I caught you on this last one, but yes, the hindsight is 50-50. I feel that. I gotta be better.
Yeah, that's funny. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Josh comes in. It's not really an expression. All expressions are made up, Josh. So yeah, that's an expression in my house.
Language doesn't exist, dude.
All right. It's in my house, we're splitting hairs. I'm picking hairs.
Picking hairs.
I should look into this copay because I'm having a stroke, and that's gonna affect me in the future.
So the other funny one from Jesse's Good Bad is the Raiders. It's just the Josh McDaniels thing. And
I'm shocked you said they were. If you had me guess their record right now, I would have guessed 2-5. So it's shocking to me too. That they're 500.
They beat the Packers.
500?
Yeah, remember?
I literally had no idea.
Yeah, I would have guessed at most 2 wins. It just feels like it's been. That's the most dumpster fire 400 I've ever witnessed.
Sorry, they're technically 4-5, not 4-4. But they didn't have their bye. But still.
I would have guessed like 2-6, 1-7. Like the fact I got 4 wins out of them feels like all I need for the whole season. So I'm good.
That's craziness. That's crazy. And did you guys see I'm sure we all have the Josh McDaniels that whose players were kind of after him in a meeting. So a coach who's now the interim head coach stood up for him and brought up the fact that, you know, we need to be like the Giants who beat the Patriots and, you know, we need to imagine we can go in every game winning. And Josh McDaniels pulled him aside afterward. He's like, never bring up the Patriots loss.
Don't you dare talk about the Patriots.
Yeah, like, he's defending your character. And you're like, this guy's the worst. Anyway, so it sounds like Josh McDaniels is the worst. And maybe the
that was the Antonio Pierce. And now he's the coach. So maybe it was a long time.
And we're undefeated with Antonio Pierce.
Right.
Antonio Pierce.
Right.
It's kind of the Jeff Saturday energy, you know.
Yeah, I was just about to say, never forget Jeff Saturday started 1-0, baby.
Yeah, I feel dumb for not betting on the Raiders this week. That would have been that's just easy money, right? Yeah. Like next time I will do it.
All the quotes are like, "Hey, we just needed a change." It's like, yeah, it's probably a sign that the team hated what was going on. Like that's nobody comes out and says that. All right, so then in second place right now is Kai. And Kai started out so strong, dude. You were just like flying.
Yeah.
I had to make it interesting.
Because Kai's stacked team to start the year had Eagles good and 49ers good. They were the last two undefeated teams, right? So that was a good place to be. And then the Vikings.
Then the
49ers
decided to be weird.
Yes, that is true. I'm just taking us back. Vikings, you had bad. And they started 0-4, right?
Yeah, 1-4.
It was a dream.
Yeah, 1-4.
It was such a fun
and
start.
So anyway, you were already ahead, like from the very get go here. But now that you're starting to come down back to earth a little bit, 49ers are weird. The Commanders have won games for some reason. The Raiders are winning games. The Vikings are winning games. What are we doing?
Happening?
What's happening in the world at the NFL?
Well, we all saw those Week 9 quarterback line: Brett Rypien, Taylor Heineke, Jordan Love. I mean, people are just trotting out some. Atrocious
garbage.
Yeah,
just garbage.
Yeah, we all understand. That's probably a big part of it. The league's gone to garbage for. You know,
the league's gone to garbage. Guys,
Kai is handling our good bad segment well over there. I mean, to be fair, this is the worst the NFL's ever been in its history. It's just only trash humans would do well predicting this shit show we watch every Sunday.
Bleep show. So the most interesting one right now is the Vikings. So we should talk about them because they start 1-4. They go on a hot streak. Kirk Cousins tears his Achilles. Josh Dobbs leads them on a game.
We were there for the Kirk Cousins game.
We were not there for the Josh Dobbs game. What, Ice, where are we at? What's going on with the Vikings? What's the feeling?
I'm having fun. If you go back to the probably the last pod we did because we haven't potted in a while, one of the things that I said was like, there's nothing to be like,
Josh Dobbs
about.
Will be really good week 9. That's what,
that's what I said. Jaren Hall, give him to me. No, there's nothing fun about it because the version of the Vikings with Kirk Cousins and, you know, the way it's built, there's nothing fun happening. So I am not happy that Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles. He seems like, by all accounts, he seems like a great guy. I don't know. It's funny to see like the positive takes come out about Kirk Cousins after he gets hurt. Like, because that's always how it goes.
It was starting like the week before. The week before, people were like, hey, in the Niners,
because they beat the Niners.
Kirk Cousins played incredible. People were like, he's really good. And then it was the perfect time for him to tear his Achilles, maybe. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah, that's right.
Going on top.
I actually forgot about that. No,
you
but
a villain. You either die a hero or you live long enough to become a villain. Right?
But that last game.
Tear your Achilles a hero.
Sorry. Like Aaron Rodgers, he was a hero. He came out as a Batman.
Hey, Rodgers is going to be playing week 12 at this game.
Yep.
He's coming back. Fortnite until Rodgers plays.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't had, I mean, I guess there's been a lot of fun for the Vikings. So I don't know, maybe I was just being too pessimistic at the beginning. I was just like, I knew we were going to move on from Kirk Cousins and I didn't think we had any chance of winning anything this year. So it was just boring. Like winning the division, losing the first round, call it a day. So this happening is something interesting, right? The Josh Dobbs thing game, like the game that I watched on Sunday was one of the most fun games I've ever watched of Vikings football. And obviously Kirk Cousins gave some to us too last year with the Colts and with the Bills, and I get that. But this game was so fun. Josh Dobbs is exciting, and he can run, and I don't think he's probably going to be that great, but he's, you know, we're giving a new quarterback the keys to, in theory, like one of the best offenses
How many receivers do you have?
Right. I mean, that part is bad, but Justin Jefferson was activated from the IR.
Oh yeah.
His 21 day window is open now. It sounds like he won't play this week, but so you got Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, Christian Darrisaw. You got good players. Our line is amazing this year too.
TJ Hawkinson.
So like, there's a lot to like. So I just like, I'm in an optimistic zone where it's like, they're getting good players and the good players are playing well. And yeah, we don't have a quarterback. And so we're going to be in that spot. Like next year, come back to me and it'll be like, oh, we have this good team with a bad quarterback and we're where we've always been. Right. But for now it's fun, having a good time. And we've won 4 in a row. So
yeah, that's
cool. Just kind of riding the in season high.
Speaking of all those names at the Wolves game, there was TJ Hawkinson, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. And they just had them all three sign a football that then Crunch just threw into the stands. That's the most expensive thing that's ever been thrown into a football thrown in the stands at a basketball game I've been to.
Crunch. Come on.
And then a Celtics fan.
Celtics fan caught it.
Oh, baloney.
It was a bummer.
Lots of Celtics Vikings crossover there. Right?
I hope he threw it back in the court. He's like, no, I don't want this.
It's usually the type of thing where the
$500 signed ball. I don't want it.
But like the mascot points at a kid and like, oh, you ready? You ready? And then they like throw it. Like that's the normal thing. Crunch just grabbed it and he just whipped it wherever he wanted.
Yeah.
I love that we're just talking about Crunch. That's good. I like that he's called Crunch. I haven't interacted with the with his mascot enough. So that's just, I like that. Is it with a K or a C? I know it's okay, but oh really? Okay,
it's a C. Yeah. Why would it be a C? Because
it's hard.
It's not a breakfast cereal.
It's a wolf, I guess.
But anyway, the Vikings are fun. You guys should talk about the Packers because I'm curious where you guys are at. You went to the game.
No, we're not going to get there. Good, bad teams. We're not getting the Packers.
No, thank you.
You went to the game. All three of you.
We did go to the game.
We did go.
Good old
we
time.
Did.
I wore my sunglasses.
Josh hit a ringer.
Yep. Josh hit a ringer.
That was the most incredible thing I've ever. Okay, so this is the important part. The game doesn't
honestly
matter.
Tweet it from the account. Like that's the best content.
We walk.
If people tune in for football, they obviously get horseshoes instead. And that's people, you should expect that.
People, we're in the Tundra Town, whatever it's called.
We're in Tundra City.
We find our way back in after being kicked out unceremoniously. And then having to scramble to get back in. Yeah, with bag of earthquakes and only one drink per person. And I have a bag full, so they kick me out. Anyway, it's fine. We get
Josh
back
just
in.
A drunk wreck.
First thing we see is Family Show. First thing we see is a horseshoe pit, and it's like, oh, this is my time. Blah, blah, blah. I pick up a horseshoe, still have a bag in hand. Like maybe I don't at this point. Doesn't matter. For the story, yeah, let's
just
say
you
I
did.
Do.
For the story,
got my gloves on.
He
I don't
blindfolded
even
himself. only his pinky.
Step back.
No warm up tosses. I don't even like the first grab. Just toss it. Dead ringer. First toss. It was the most insane thing I've ever done athletically in my life. And then I never even came close. I tossed like six more. Not even close. Yep. The whole rest of them. But that one was recorded, videoed. Thank you, Kai, for doing this.
I got you.
It was incredible.
We'll put it in the documentary of your life, Josh, in like 30 years.
I need that.
Famous.
Make my tombstone a gif of that. That's all I need. Anyway, that's the Packers update.
Well, then, no. There's more to that. So then,
what's right
west? I know this. What's right west of this horseshoe pit is a foosball table, right? So,
fellas, we had some intense. We
Isaac
Josh
Jesse versus Josh Kai. Josh has been playing some lockdown defense for about 6 points. So I think it's like 3-3.
I'm taking the back half. I got
it. Might be.
Yep.
It was first to five. I think it was 4-3 at this point, right? 7 points. Josh been going. And Isaac Hitzgraf, not the ice variety, points out that one of Josh's defenders doesn't have any legs. And Josh had absolutely no idea that one of his defenders was completely legless.
So they play. You play with three goalies, and my inside most goalie had no legs. It was completely useless out there, and I was playing as normal.
Yeah,
and
it was just
absurd.
Like, and it's just the fact that somehow we made 7 points without you ever noticing that person impossibly could not hit the ball.
Yeah, I just kept spinning him. He's just sitting there. I felt so bad for him and me. It was just. And
I will.
That's the Packers, though.
I will actually address it really quick. Jordan Love is not. Been great. I think everyone will say that he has not shown a lot on his deep balls. I think the best scenario you have is where you can get a lot of talent around him. He signs for cheap and he can gain manage because he can't throw a deep ball. And I even think even then, it's not terrific. I personally did not watch any of the Packers Rams game at all. I didn't tune in. Didn't really care. If we were to win this week, I would then care again. Maybe until then, I'm rooting for losses. I don't know. We're playing because I'm not back.
What time slot? I don't know.
If we win, I'm back. But right now, I'm still out. I'm still hoping for losses. And if somehow we win this, then maybe we're 4-5, and I can see us like trying to make some momentum. But as it stands, going into this week, I wanted us to lose, and moving forward, I still want us to lose.
We
and if we win
the
this
Steelers.
Week, I'll
take. Oh Lord.
Cross-fandom battle.
Dude, what that over-under has to be like 14. The Packers offense versus the Steelers offense.
Do you know what Thursday night is tomorrow night? Get excited.
Yeah, Bears-Panthers. And Tyler Bagnett Bears.
You know what's so sad about this? Is I'm going to be rooting everything. So hard for the Panthers because I need some wins for my – I picked the Panthers to be good. So I just need the Panthers to get anything. So I'm going to actually care about it, and that's the saddest part. For everybody involved.
You've done sadder things on the podcast.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I got you.
So
the Vikings play Monday night against the Bears. Not this Monday, but the next
primetime
Monday.
Dobbs.
Yep. And then another primetime Dobbs the following weekend against the Broncos. Oof. So
man.
Good. All right,
well, yeah. Where's the Broncos? What are we doing?
Oh my God. Bucks have caught themselves. They've ripped it away from the jaws of defeat, and Brooke Lopez is a deep three. Now they're up four on the Pistons, guys. This is
with no time left, right? Stuff. It's a dub?
Well, maybe. I must be behind. Yeah, but did we win?
Well, no, it was more like an excited, like I think they're probably going to win looking at the box score.
Oh.
I am not ahead. I was seeing
did
what
we
did I
win?
See. I was seeing one. Oh, I no. Okay, never mind. The box score messed up. This is not my fault. The box score said 119-115, and that never happened.
It's a 2-point game with.
Oh, wait, it did happen. What is happening? It I'm going to send you a screenshot.
My game says 119 yep. to 115.
I'm going to send you a screenshot. This is, this is bad Uh-oh. Podcasting. Sorry,
No. This is really good.
I have 118, anyway. 120 for what it's worth. But
this is why we haven't gone into the play.
I'm at 90-76, but I'm not in an explorer. So
Ice is a tale of two sets of teams here.
Oh, my God, we're still on this?
Oh, yeah. You best believe. Ice, Cardinals bad, great pick, 1-8. And now they traded away Dobbs, and who knows if Kyler Murray is actually
going to come back and
play. If he plays, like, they could be interesting, Malik, I guess. That's so good.
Beasley with the game-winning steal.
Sorry. Ravens good, who might just be the best team in the NFL. Like, Ravens just might be the best team, and that is a great pick. But then you have Texans bad, who have looked really fun and been kind of good.
Mistake.
And then Vikings good, which – verdict is very much still out on the Vikings.
My two choices were Cowboys and Vikings, and they both have 5 wins right now. So I feel good about sticking to my –
Vikings have 5 wins? I'm a win behind on the Vikings. Oh, boy.
Oh, what other wins are we missing? Hold on.
There it is.
So I'll go last because mine is the worst. I did all bad things. Bengals and Bills good. Two very clear – Bills – are underperforming and may never come back from it. Bengals at least have looked good.
Bills are dead.
Bills are gone.
Bills are
Colts
dead.
Bad. Colts have just been playing just awful team after awful team after awful team. So they keep winning. They're not
you
good,
picked
they're...
you picked an AFC South team to be bad. They get 6 other games against AFC South.
I know. It's been bad. Panthers, I said, were good. Congrats to me. That was the worst pick of the whole draft. By
that
a
was
lot.
Your steal, right?
That was my steal. Was steal. Yep.
Panthers good could be a historically bad pick.
Right? My one last year was also horrendous. No, it wasn't. I picked Panthers good last year, and it was a good steal. So I don't know. Who knows what's going on?
Josh has just been an OG Panthers fan. I forgot about this. Forgot about your Panthers diehardness.
You know? I love the Panthers. And then Bucks bad, and the Bucks have been mediocre. Buccaneers. So I'm just bad in all fronts. Like, I just haven't been good.
Can you say the score again with my new win? Because I wasn't paying attention the first time.
Now it should be.
Now that you're
1.29. Higher. Yeah. Kai and Ice tied at 27, and I have 21.
We're in it, Kai. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm not in
Let's
it anymore. I'm gone. This is
I don't have to root for Brett Rippon anymore because that was tough. Cool.
Well, we did it. We talked about all the things. This has been a good pod. We've taken up all the time we need to, right? Is there anything we missed? I talked about the Ringer. Did we talk about cricket?
Oh,
anyone want to talk about the cricket?
Oh, Kai used to talk about the Badgers. Kai posted, I was just scrolling Instagram, Kai, and I was like, oh, Kai has a story. I look at his story. It's
probably doing something fun.
The Badgers hockey win. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I messaged him. I was like, if you're going to put this on your story, you have to talk about it on the pod. So here we go.
Yep, here we are.
All's fair in love and war. Well, just to just bring up the speed. The Badgers, just like a lot of Wisconsin sports teams this year, they've got a new coach. Badger hockey's got a new coach, Mike. Wait for the name. The hometown of Ice, Hastings. Mike Hastings is the new coach. And he's from Minnesota State Mankato, who he turned them into a powerhouse. And overnight, he's turned the Badgers into an incredible team. They're currently ranked 3rd in the nation. They upset the number 1 seeded Gophers. They swept them. And then they went home and they swept Michigan, who was ranked number 3 at the time. So things are looking up for Badger hockey. I was a big fan of them when I was like a middle school kid because they were really good then. They won the title in 06. And then they got bad and I stopped watching hockey. But now I've caught some Badger hockey. And hockey's a really, from a viewing perspective, it's easy because it's just 20 minutes and it's basically running clock. I mean, they have to stop it for faceoffs, but it's a fast watch. You basically just sit for an hour and it's done. So I do, from a watchability standpoint, it's definitely no baseball. So I'll give it that.
Once again, someone said this about baseball earlier as well. If the main argument is it's shorter, that's not a great argument for watching. Here's the thing. Here's why I love watching it. You don't have to do it for very long. All right, I'm in. Let's do it.
So quickly, it's like, wait, shouldn't I enjoy it? Nope, doesn't matter. It's
it's not part of it. No. It's horrible, but it's so fast. You don't even notice. Come watch with me.
It's only 45 minutes of your time.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think hockey's fun, but I totally can understand. There's a limited number of sports you can watch. So,
oh yeah,
can't watch them all.
Hockey. I went to a Wild shootout. Right, that was pretty fun. I was very tired. I went to a Minnesota Wild hockey game. That hockey game went into overtime, and that overtime turned into a shootout, which is my first ever shootout watching live. And it is, while it's not the sport of hockey to decide the ending of a game of hockey, it is a quite a fun thing that happens, you know? Like,
do they get a running start? Do they go full court with full ice, full rink, whatever?
Yeah, so they pick up the puck at half ice at the center.
Oh, okay, half ice.
And then go. Yeah, and then go. It's very snitch footage energy where you're like, this isn't what happened the whole time, but it decides it. You know, but it's cool. I mean, it's a cool way. That's fast.
I've always had that opinion. Yeah. Shootouts make no sense. It's like playing Mario Kart to figure out who wins the Smash Bros. Game. It's like, we're just playing Mario Party mini games. Okay, let's do it.
But my last two Minnesota sports events have been overtime wins for the teams. That's been quite Saturday and Monday. Man. OT Minnesota sports wins. Pretty decent set.
Jesse, did you have any iPark-it experiences, or did you scrap?
No, iPark-it. But we go to a normal parking lot that we always like. It's something museum parking lot. They double, easy in, easy out, open air, boom. So we're on our way there, right? I got Andy's parents in the back. I'm driving, and then we take a right. We got one more right, and we're on our way. And what is it? Someone decided to just crash into a stoplight. And so my normal way there is completely blocked off. And instead, there's an immediate open right turn for parking right here. And I was like, I can't make it where I want to go. There's an immediate right turn for parking. What's the worst that can happen? And so I go and I park, and the only parking is on the upper level. And I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll clear out when we can. And the thing about how this ramp is designed is every other level must clear out first before you get any shot. And I was on the seventh level. And so we were literally sitting in my car, just me, Annie, and her parents for, I think it was like 28 minutes before the first sign of movement occurred. And I got out and started walking around. I was like, is something happening out there? I was like, Annie, she's like, oh, we shouldn't leave. I was like, we haven't moved. We're not going anywhere, bud. Like, well, it's going to be okay. And so I walked down like couple rows and realized, I was like, oh, they have one exit from this entire ramp of like 500 cars, and everyone at the bottom gets to go first. And so that was actually a pretty horrendous parking experience. Thanks, Kai. Thanks for
that.
All right. Thanks for everyone who stuck around. I'm sorry you chose to.
Well, we'll see everybody in like week 15 or 16. When I've inevitably come back in the good bad teams, giving myself a little bit of hope, the Panthers go on their 4-game win streak, beat the Bears this week, I assume.
Josh, how exciting it's not even a bet. I will give you 385 if the Panthers go on a 4-game win streak, just for free.
just for fun. Get it. Man, yeah. I should have taken that $10 bet on the Thunder beating the Hawks. I felt confident. I just couldn't watch. Anyway, apart from that, all things good. For the Archers of the North, watch some basketball, watch some football, or vote a bunch. And we will
talk. You didn't vote, you messed up. All right, that's Archers of the North.
We'll see y'all soon.
So, just you and me.
Okay.
We probably leave.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably.
Or we could just go off. We could just have our own tangent.
I've been here by myself before. Yeah, is it still recording, do you think?
Josh?
I don't know. What should we talk about?
Bonus. Truth of the Anthem bonus.
What do you think? Do you know the rules of cricket, Kai? Because I do not.
I can't. I mean, there's a bat, right? And the ball.
I think there's a pitch, too, so it's baseball. That.